We had a little technical difficulty on Grace's end. It's only been 130 episodes, but she couldn't get her camera working. So we're a minute,
some
2 minutes.
Some things are worth the wait, you know?
I mean, the 1.5 people that were waiting hopefully hung in there.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not going to be first place all the time. Sometimes we're going to be 10th place, and it's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah.
What's in the mug there?
A little bit of decaf coffee.
Hmm. Too late for caffeinated.
Yeah, a little too late for caffeinated, but we still like a warm cup of Joe sometimes. So I got a warm little cup of Joe.
Did you enjoy not laboring today?
I did enjoy not laboring today. It was a lovely 3-day weekend for me. Shout out to all those people who don't have that opportunity. How was your weekend?
I would say ditto. Like, I love extended weekends. The weather right now is just like, I could take it all year long. And yeah, it was good stuff. Got some good runs in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay.
All right. Well, I guess I'll see you next Monday.
All right. See you Monday. No, let's talk about it on the show. Let's get this thing started. I'm ready. Come on.
All right. Oh, okay. Here we go, Grace. Yeah. Labor pains, 12-hour race recap. Pine Creek Challenge on deck. But there's no sense in me getting wordy. Let's talk about it all on episode 130.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
I'm ready for this. We had labor pains this weekend. One lady Kosek was also at labor pains. There were some stellar performances. Jennifer Riggs hit a distance PR, and I was super excited for her. One of the athletes I coach, she had an awesome, awesome day. So shout out to her.
You're not even going to mention the Rota Smoker was there?
I was not there. I was just checking out some posts and things, and Rota didn't post anything about it.
Rota does.
I also had some other athletes and other friends who kind of went out there for training runs and stuff, and they had some awesome days. Erin Roten, she was also there. She had a good
time. Wow, look at you just name dropping left and right.
What? That's what we do, son.
Son? Okay.
Anyway. How was Becky's day? Did you go?
No, I did not go down. I had Lauren had a meet on Saturday, and then Becky went straight from there to head south, and I had come home on the bus with all the kiddos and stuff. Cool. I'd like to, one of the years I'm going to run it. It's been on my like to-do list, my bold bucket list there. But
yeah, it's been on my bucket list. It's a hard one. It's one of those weekends, like I have a few weekends out of the year that I kind of reserve for spending time with my husband, because I do race a good bit and do a lot of long runs and all those things. So usually it's Labor Day weekend, Memorial Day weekend, our anniversary, and his birthday. Those are the four that I usually don't race on Labor Day weekend. I spend a lot of time with him. We did some trail work, which was a lot of fun. So we mostly hung out.
Cool. Sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so, I mean, the second place female is here with me in this house, so she can come on and talk about it. But before we get to that, I mean, might as well go over who the top finishers were.
Let's do it.
Katie Bixler was overall. the winner and the female. So that's very cool. It was 65 miles. Mm-hmm. So that was, she was one loop ahead of Becky, and Rhoda Smoker was third female with one loop behind Becky.
Awesome. All friends of the show.
Exactly. We've had Kate. Well, we've had all three on.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah.
And then we didn't have any of the three top males on, which is okay. Corey Rogel was 62.1, getting that 100K mark. Alexander Noon or Nunn, 62.1. And Rob Price was 62.1.
Nice.
So, yeah, Labor Pains is a 5-mile loop. How much gain did it have per loop, roughly? No, come over.
I think I had 6,000 total.
Becky had 6,000 feet of gain in 60 miles. So those that are good at mathing can probably break that down with the 5-mile loop. I don't know. That's hard.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about the course and the race itself? This race has been going on for quite a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 200 some finishers. So it's big. I mean, obviously some people might do just one lap and that's fine. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's what this type of race is made for. But tell us about your day.
The loop itself, they said, was a lot easier than other years. That every year pretty much that has been changed, it's pretty much gotten easier.
Oh, this is like a totally new
loop. Yeah, so this was new for everybody. The uphill was in like a mile and a half to two miles. So as soon as you got done with that, it was like the rest was just rolly. I mean, the whole thing was runnable. For like, I pretty much ran the first loop hard and it was like, okay, now I know I'm going to make myself run the whole thing for, I was figuring 5 loops and then I could give myself the choice of walking the hills or whatever. The first hill was pretty gradual and it wasn't very long. And then the steep hill was shorter, but a lot steeper. And it was quite technical. I thought anyways, for me, it was very rocky and rooty and places where it was very single track through like tall weeds, but there was just, you couldn't see the rocks very well until, you know, a couple loops in when it was really pounded down, which also made it hard to pass people. So you being a 5-mile loop with all those people, you were constantly passing people.
Yeah.
Which everybody's really great. The only problem would be at times where like you're kind of going uphill and there's a group of people and they're talking.
Yeah.
And it was like on your left to like 10 people and you had to say it 10 times because nobody's that was a little annoying, but everybody was great and lots of people's PRs. I think they had it set. Mm-hmm. So once you completed your loop, if you were on whatever one to be a marathon, there was like a turnaround point. So you could go start your next loop, but turn around to get that distance. So they had markers out there for you to be able to do that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was.
It's a very cool race. It's a cool setup. Like I said, I have not run it before. I know a lot of people who do every year. And it's put on by Pretzel City Sports. I think they do a great job of it. Mm-hmm. Some of the folks who are heavily involved, Michael Whalen, Jim Blanford, they do a really good job, I think, of hyping it up and making it a fun event.
Oh, it was fun. There's a spot where you have to cross the guardrail towards the end.
Yeah.
And you're going uphill as it is. And then you have to cross the guardrail, go across the road and climb like boulders to get up, to get out of it. And they, the cops got called because they were beating on the rail and music and, yeah, the noise. Cops came and told them they couldn't do that.
The guardrail gang.
Yes, it was great.
Yeah. I've heard about them. I have not. I've seen video and that's about it. But they put on great events out there in that area. And which I think you've done some other stuff from them before. Was this your first time doing Labor Pains?
It was. Yeah. I just signed up last Sunday.
Yeah. Looking for a good training run for Oil Creek.
Yeah, I was considering going out to Oil Creek, but it would have been like probably running by myself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it'd be good to be on the course, but I do know the course pretty well. And so I was like, well, I would probably be better off going and doing labor pains and mm-hmm. probably run harder and get more out of it. So I chose to do that instead.
That's awesome. And you, I think I read on your last loop, you met up with somebody who was doing their first 50K. Is that right? Yep.
That was not my last loop. That was my sixth or seventh loop, I think. I pretty much ran all by myself almost till then. So I met Jen and she was doing her first 50K. Yay. And she was going to go to the turnaround point. Like there's mm-hmm. yellow flags and it marked and everything. Well, we're talking and we're going and she's telling me all this stuff. And then we realized that we completely missed the yellow flag. And so she's like, well, I guess I'm doing another loop. So she ended up doing the whole loop with me. It was really nice.
Awesome. And
yeah. So she's, that was her first 50K and she was training for, it's not Naked Nick. It's the one Bavarian. In October. No. Mm-hmm.
Prussian?
Nope. That's in the spring, but it's one of those.
Bavarian.
That's in the spring too. Whatever one's in the fall.
They move dates.
Naked Nick.
There's Nick. Nick is December. So there's Prussian, Bavarian, Nick, and then there's another one. Well, I've done them all at some point.
Okay, well, it's the other one that's here in the fall, and that was what she was training for. She said she normally, she had been a road runner and is transitioning into running in trails.
Nice.
She was great. It was nice to have company.
Awesome. Was there any notable food at the aid station? They usually do pretty well at their aid stations.
They did. I did not eat it. I was pretty much early on, I was just mainly eating peanut butter and jelly. And then I would eat a gel halfway through the loop. Mm-hmm. And pretty much when the food that I would have loved to have eaten, I was already to the point where I wasn't eating like that. They had grilled cheese and pickles and loaded quesadillas and all kinds. They did have a good variety of stuff, but I wasn't at that point able to eat anything like that.
Yeah. Awesome.
One of the things I made sure to tell them is their course markings are fantastic. Mm. Especially not even the flagging. It was for me, I'm one to make a wrong turn. And take a trail I shouldn't or whatever. They had a different color tape that just it was lying across the ground. So mm-hmm. if you turned, I mean, it was super obvious. And I'm that was so smart because it doesn't hinder anybody out there hiking, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was it was really good. It was very clearly marked. And there was a lot of sharp turns at intersections and stuff that you could easily make a wrong turn.
Mm-hmm.
I was very happy for that.
Wow, that's great. Well, it sounds like you had an awesome day.
It was good. Yep.
Yeah, it's one of those races that's a good training run for anybody by the sounds of it, whether you're just getting into little longer distances or you want to try to get that 100K in 12 hours or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first 50K, first marathon, and they have some pretty cool finisher awards. Do you want to mention, I don't know as much about the finisher awards. Did you see them?
Oh yes. It was a long sleeve tech shirt, a quarter zip. They have you pretty much try it on right then and there, and they mark down your size and they mail it to you.
Yeah. And I think they do some special things for 10 year finishers and, they do a couple of extra things, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. That is good.
Yeah. So Oil Creek is next.
Yes.
October?
Mm-hmm. First weekend in October.
Okay. Are you settled in on what your goal is?
It's all on my body. I have that ultimate A goal that if it's a perfect day, the weather's good and my body works, it's possible. But I also have lower goals that are more practical.
That sounds good. This is, how many times have you done this? Three times?
This will be the third time I've done the 100 mile.
Yeah. So you're going back.
Time, right?
Yep. Going back. You'll get it done. It'll be a good day. So I don't know about you, Eric, but I'm interested in your thoughts on this too, Becky. I don't know about you, Eric, but a lot of the people I'm coaching right now are heading into taper. They're heading into taper, or they're going to be heading into taper soon. So, Becky, what is your taper going to look like?
I don't know. I'm not very good at tapering, I feel like. I'll probably just mainly my weekend miles are a little bit less.
Okay.
So my longer runs become a little less long.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
But my weekly mileage, I feel like my weekly mileage just is always pretty much the same. And the only thing that really varies, well, the workouts vary, I guess, but the mileage itself during the weekdays don't really vary. My weekends are what changes.
Do you start to vary the intensity of your workouts?
Of my workouts, definitely. And I probably won't have as many.
Yeah. That makes sense. How about, so Eric, what's your feeling on taper? Because there was a whole discussion in a group that I was in about a 3 week versus a 2 week taper. And I have slowly kind of and I had an athlete reach out to me and they're like, I only have like a week. And I'm like, no, you have two, but they're used to a 3 week taper and I've tightened it up over the years and I don't drop it down as much.
I have to. I mean, I think it's a very overused, overthought, overstressed, over anxietied word. And it's individualized. I mean, everybody's different. If you really want to get into the science of a taper, it's not one size fits all. So if you feel better going into the race knowing you had your 3 week taper, then you better take your 3 week taper. Is it really necessary? Nope. But who cares? Because if you feel better mentally about it, then that's good.
Yeah.
If you've struggled with, you know, feeling like your long runs are burning you out or you're tired after everyone and you feel like that training block is just tearing you down, then yeah, take a longer taper. If you're feeling amazing and every run feels good and you're hitting your workouts, then a week is fine. And that's including, you're not going to do any workouts the week leading up to it. But if you want to get out for mental clarity and run some miles, you're not taking anything away from your race.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good answer?
Just keep it easy.
Yeah.
I like two snaps for that answer. I mean, one, it's individualized. We know that as it comes to all training, but yeah, I think that, for some people, a 2 week, you just ramp down the mileage and the intensity. But if you take a 3 week taper, you're not going to lose a lot of fitness. So that's fine. But it's also not terrible to keep on running and not have 3 weeks of being a bump on the log, you know? So I think the 3 week taper of the 3 week of really ramping down for three whole weeks, I don't think it's totally necessary. And I think a lot of people, they look forward to their runs and they go a little crazy when they don't get to run. And I think it's fine to keep on going until 10 to 14 days out. And then you start to get rid of the strength training and start to have much easier speed sessions and lower the mileage. Yeah.
Yeah, if you go overboard with letting your body recover after every run the week leading up to your race, I feel like that is enough. There's trouble science out there that says that 2 weeks you feel different, you're going to get the most out of it. But I have yet to come across an athlete that finished a race, the best race they've ever run and happier than anything and said, you know what I'm giving credit to for that race is my taper.
Yeah.
No, it comes down to like spend the time on the nutrition, spend the time on the hydration. Yeah. And a lot depends on what your goal is. If you're going out there to give it your all for a 50K or 100K or 100 milers and you're draining the tank, Well, then you best run a little long on your taper to make sure that you're at 150% before the race starts. But if you're running 15, 20 mile long runs on the weekends and you're feeling strong and your goal is to just finish your first 50K, that 50K is just a train, is another training run too. So why are you going to let up on your training? Do you understand where I'm getting at? Like, it's hard and it's a race, but it's also, you've been doing this and practicing this for so long. You didn't taper before every long training run. So take it easier the week before. I'm not saying to do workouts or speed work or hill work, but don't think into it too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think a sweet spot is right around like 10 to 14 days, 10 to 15 days, right around there. I think that's good for most folks. And then again, there's always exceptions to the rule. You know, something happens in life and you need that extra week, and that's totally fine. But I know a lot of people out there are heading into their tapers, and it's the other thing that I will say about a taper, though, at least heading into what is your A race, if it's your A race, I'd say don't pick up a new hobby. Don't start your big, huge home improvement project. I have seen that sometimes where people are like, oh, well, I'm not spending as much time on my long run, so let me go ahead and build that patio that I've been wanting to build. And then they've got back pain because they're doing something completely different that they didn't do in their training at all. And so with that little bit of extra time, I think it's not the time to pick up a new hobby. But other than that, it's kind of business as usual. I encourage people to just use the time for race planning and kind of do some packing, reach out to maybe spend some time with friends and family instead, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, you should feel fat, lazy, and antsy during it. If you feel all three of those things that last week or last 2 weeks, if you desire 2 weeks, then you're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Good talk.
That was a good talk. I think it's good timing. And Becky, I hope you have a great taper and an amazing day at Oil Creek. It's going to be a good day.
Yeah, we'll have to ask her if she wants to be on again after Oil Creek.
Yeah. And it sounds like, did Oil Creek find new race directors? What's the status of the race?
They've had a new race director for like 2 years now.
I think it's been
A lady took over from the previous guy. But yeah, it's still a great race.
Yeah, it's still run the same.
Still run the exact same. Nothing's changed. It's a good first race for anybody that wants to do their first 50K, 100K, or 100 miler. I always say that.
Nice.
Nice trails, pretty course.
Yep.
And I'm running a 24-hour the same day as Oil Creek.
Whoa! I didn't know that was happening the same day. What an exciting day for the Cossacks.
It's literally the only one that I found an open weekend for this fall for myself. So it is. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. It'll be a fun day.
Yep. We can. You want to be done? I know you want to. Anything else you want to say?
Hi, Becky.
Bye.
I didn't know I was going to get some Becky time today. That was
really exciting. It was the last minute thing, and luckily I have her phone number in my phone, so I called her and asked if she'd like to be on the show, and she said sure. How lucky.
That was a nice little surprise. I appreciate that.
No, Labor Pains is definitely a good race. Everybody should put on their calendar to try to do. I think now that she did it, she would agree, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to do it? Would you do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially as a training run. It was great.
Yeah. And the weather was beautiful. I mean, this weekend was just phenomenal.
It was.
Sad that it's the unofficial end of summer, but we don't need to talk about that.
Unofficial end of summer, and we head into the fall season. It is September, which means fall, racing, and I'm super excited about fall racing.
So here's a question for you. Uh-huh. I'm running Pine Creek 50 miler this coming Saturday.
Yay.
So my taper started today and I ran 31 miles. Is that about right?
Well, if we go back to the advice, it depends on your goal. So what is your goal for this?
Exactly. Good answer. That this is just a training run for me. That's why I did that. If it was racing it, I certainly wouldn't be doing that. But yeah.
Right.
Trying to keep high mileage. This is not a race to me. It's just a 50-mile run on my feet.
A good day to see some friends.
Practice pacing. It's a good day to practice pacing. We're going to practice pacing, running slow. That's the right thing to do. Eric's going to run slow and practice pacing.
Oh, that was some awesome self-talk. Nicely done.
Yes, this has been recorded and it will be playing all week long.
Eric's going to practice pacing. Do you have a target pace?
Yes, and I'm going to run slower than I'm comfortable with, and I'm going to practice my pacing. And we're even going to walk some to get the pace down to where because Eric can't run that slow, so walking enables the pace to go that slow.
That's a great method. Do you have a strategy for walking? Like, do you have a time when you're going to decide to walk?
It's a great question, and I have the answer. I just dialed it in today. I think I'm going to stick with this. I might try to run pace a little slower. I'm still unsure. But right now, I think I'm going to try to shoot for 9-minute miles throughout the whole race, even split. And what works for me, at least it worked today for a little bit, was I'm running 8:25s. Now, follow me here. I run 8:25s. And then at 0.45 miles to half a mile, I walk. So 0.5 mile walk. And then once I get to 0.95 to 0.00, I walk again. And that drops it to 9-minute miles.
Nice.
Between that for 0.45 miles on each sandwiched in there is 8:25s.
Uh-huh.
It just feels okay to me. And I think the walking, you know, the walking strategy is helpful for 24 hours because it gives your muscles a break from the constant running.
Yeah, I think it's a great strategy for the 24 hour, and especially because it's flat. You know, anytime I have an athlete running a 50 miler, 100K, 100 miler on flat like that, we usually do a run walk strategy just because you need to change up which muscles you're using too. And what I've seen time after time, because I've seen a lot of people run Yeti 100, is they kind of run for as long as they can. And then they'll start walking, and then like everything tumbles downhill pretty badly. So I think starting that run walk strategy from the get go is really, really, there's a lot of people who are successful with it. Not to say that you can't be successful in other methods, but it works out for a lot of folks.
No, I mean, I've picked it up from Kaylee Frederick. She uses it for 24 hours. Yeah. And the idea behind it is, you know, if it's a 1-mile loop, well, then she usually starts out walking twice within the mile, like I'm going to be doing. And then as you get tired and your running pace starts slowing, then you can subtract one of the walks if you're still able to remain running, which keeps you at that pace that you were running. And when shit really hits the fan, if you need to, you can eliminate both walks and still hopefully hold that 9-minute pace. Makes sense? It works for a lot of people doing the long endurance runs, and it's amazing how hard it is for me mentally to get into this endurance running. I've never ran so slow, but it takes such patience and willpower to know that like the first part of the race doesn't matter. It's what you feel like later in the race. So you have to be smart in the beginning. And so many people aren't, including myself. So that's what's kind of fun and intriguing and excites me about this whole world is that I have to learn to be patient, basically.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because when you're at the front of the pack, when you're running a 50K and you're running to podium, if you go out too fast in the beginning, well, you're going to finish in a few hours anyway. So a lot of times it doesn't really catch up to you because you're finishing in, you know, a 5 hour time. When you're a backpack runner like me, when I'm doing a 50K and I go out too fast in the beginning, well, I'm not finishing for like 9 more hours. So it really, it catches up. And so when you're a backpack runner, that discipline to stay slow in the beginning, you have to learn that so early on. And so it's kind of cool seeing you learn some other things because a 24 hour, I mean, frankly, a lot of your races, you finish in under 24 hours.
It's not about speed. It's about time. So yeah, I'm still unsure. I might try to even drop it down to 9:30 this weekend just for learning process of it. It's hard for me to break. I feel like I'm in the best 50 mile race shape of my life right now, honestly. But like this isn't meant for that. So I just have to let that go.
Yep. It is super hard. It's hard to hold back knowing, I think the hard part when I hold back in the beginning, because I'm notorious for holding back in the beginning and not going out too fast. When I hold back in the beginning, I have to completely ignore what's going on and remember that most of these other people are going out too fast.
Yep, exactly.
And when you just think like, nope. And some of them are not, like some of them, that is their pace and that's fine. But there's a lot of people who go out too fast. And once you have a few examples of it, I remember starting Georgia Death Race. And after I finished the race, there was footage that I saw of the start line, and it was the COVID year. So they waved us, they did a wave start. And I was in the last wave. And then I was watching this video footage of us starting, and I was fourth from last. But then it had about a 50% finish rate, and I was in the middle of the pack when I finished. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting to see that initial footage where I was the fourth from last person going up the very first hill. But then when you see the race results, you know, I wasn't even close to last, and there were plenty of people who didn't get to finish. And so like, I think about that time and like, nope, I'm okay. I need to, I always think, race your own race. That's what I think of. Like, you got to race your own race. Other people are racing their race and you're racing your race. And I am excited to see you race your own race at Pine Creek. And I've heard nothing but good things about this race. I've never done it before. Have you done it previously?
No, but I live right near the rail trail that it's on. So.
Yeah.
Pancake Flat, beautiful, along Pine Creek. Yeah, my goal is to come back here on Monday, on the show Monday, and show you my beautiful, even, slow splits. I mean, and if I don't do that, then I ran wrong, even if it was faster than what 9 or 9:30 is.
Yep.
I would really like to run for 40 miles at 9 or 9:30 and then give it my all for 10, but that is not the point of this run. So.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not the goal. So if you win, we know, mm-hmm. Not a good race.
Right. Well, that's the hardest part for me. Is it the race? No, we're not winning. And nope. That's okay.
You're just taking advantage of the aid stations, basically, and it's exactly. A training run.
It looks like, I mean, right now, the weather this whole next week looks amazing. Saturday is like high of 64. 55 in the morning on Saturday. So like, you couldn't ask for better running conditions.
Yeah.
So it should be a fun day to get some fatigue on the old legs. And then I'm excited for the 24 hour in October.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, I have not looked at weather recently, at least. I am going to have a super fun weekend. Oh, it's going to be chilly, I think, this weekend. I am headed to Michigan to Woodstock,
which
I've run before, but I'm super excited.
Angela Smith is running that. You need to meet Angela Smith. I don't know if you know Angela Smith.
I don't think I do.
She's running it. So find her you should be, I don't know what her goal is. This is
what distance is she running?
50K.
Okay.
What are you running?
The marathon.
Oh, are you? Okay.
I forgot what distance I signed up for. I looked at it the other day. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm running the marathon.
Cool. Well, that sounds like a fun time. It sounds like we'll have plenty to talk about Monday. We'll just talk about ourselves.
It's going to be me, Callie, Erica Lubera, Angie Schoonover, and my friend Heather. Heather's going for her first 50 miler. And we're all camping all weekend in Michigan. There will be glitter.
Cool. Well, I'll give you, let me see what I can do here. Do some math. Like 2 minutes and 30 seconds on next Monday's show to talk about it. And then the rest, I'll talk about my race. Is that about right?
2 minutes, 45 seconds.
I can't do that. There's going to be stuff I need to say about my race in that 15 seconds or else I would. I'm stuck here, Grace. Like, I'm sandwiched. You got me pinned in a corner. I'll see what I can do. But,
okay.
I mean, I want to talk about myself. I'll be honest.
Okay. That sounds good. It'll be fun. I can't wait to talk about you too.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's wrap this sucker up then. You have fun at Woodstock with all the hippies. And I'll have fun on the rail trail. And we'll meet back here next Monday at 7:30 and talk about it.
That sounds good. Everybody tune in. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Mondays because it's super fun. And tell your friends and share it with their friends. And we can all be friends and comment and like it and subscribe on the YouTube channel. Yay. That's all.
I have a limited number of friend availability, though. I don't to say.
Put me on the list.
That gives me anxiety.
Put me on the list.
You're not there yet. You have some work to do.
What do I have to do?
Well, we'll talk about it.
I want a list.
All right. Everybody have a great week. Have a great week, Grace. And have fun in Michigan.
Next weekend, we will find out what I need to do to be Eric's friend. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Bye.